Hello everybody, and welcome to the new UK radio show, Kevin's Cosmic Capers. I am Kevin Smith, and I have some things to share with you. On previous radio shows, I have highlighted how devious the personal self can be, far more than people might realise. Generally, it is a standard practice, then, should one wish to become more aware and eventually have no need of the personal created self, to keep then the emotions and thoughts under control. Easier said than achieved. It is a discipline all of its own, as we carry the personal self with us as long as we have the creational life level vehicles that embody it. Standing in the new nowness will have us connected with our real awareness, the personal self still there, and we might imagine it tapping on the bubble of awareness and real intent we place ourselves in, trying to get our attention and focus on things that it desires. At least, though, from this summation, the method is at least laid out, and then it falls to us as individuals to execute it to whatever degree we choose. As deciders, we will then decide to what extent we do stand in our real beingness and our experience and life will be in accordance, everything equaling itself. Self-perception is also a factor to be considered. This would be a part of our personal self too, bundled in with the emotions and thought processes, the over-analytical, literal created self. The way we perceive ourselves, regardless of how that is generally from a personal perspective also. We consider ourselves to be the vehicle we inhabit, the vehicle that is simply a tool for experience purposes, and through the experiences, real intent recognition and awareness becoming also will be our created consciousness, all the experiences catalogued and stored, and how we reacted, responded, and dealt with these experiences. Our created personalities, inclinations, and general conduct a result of these endless lifetimes of experience. And so the experiences are not only stored in our causal body, but they become charged ideas as we tend attach emotion to all we encounter. So an individual who, say, has an inflated opinion of himself, this created personality would be forged from experiences that moulded such a state of being. The individual discovered that such an attitude was most effective in dealing with the experiences generally that came their way. This would, from the personal self's point of view, seem a benefit, far easier to survive in a world with an edge in ego over others. A confidence, then, although exaggerated to a degree, would undoubtedly hold them in good stead in the passing dream of creation. But irrespective of whatever personality we decide upon that seems a benefit, even to be a withdrawn person may be deemed such, as it allows the individual to survive by simply shrinking away from abrasive and challenging situations and not having to deal with them. It's very likely most personality types will be more or less maintained. The only thing that would alter them would be an experience where whatever trait of being had held the individual in good survival stead fails them, and this would go into the causal memory body also. And if enough of these failed situations did occur, a re-evaluation of what had been up until this point a seemingly advantageous way of being. But all these personalities and attitudes are created and form our created consciousness and are layers of additional filters upon who we really are, that of a being of pure light, standing real in the real universes. The realization of being this is buried beneath the created self, the shrinking violet personality, or the overblown ego. We would naturally continue like this indefinitely, were it not for the opportunity of the is, as the real universal guides see a tiny degree of courage and extend their hand to at least give the individual the chance to break free of all the lifetimes of dreary drudgery, control, slavery, and unconsciousness. Of course, it's up to the individual to accept the opportunity. The guides won't carry them to the ears. The individual is already there and simply must recognize this and begin peeling back the literalized created layers that obscure this realization. Some of the real side dream experiences will reveal insight into the aspects of the created personality that hinder the process. Of course, the personality and created self in its entirety is hindering us. But it is a long journey and best taken in steps. One facet of the created self at a time to be dealt with. An agreement dissolved here, a tap line removed there. At the pace the individual can handle, again, that is their choice as to the speed they progress. All of the real side demonstrations are such that the real intent can be established, recognized, and made real. As we are shown what the is not, and if we accept it and take it on, face the experience and everything in creation, and understand with our awareness everything we do experience in creation as the ideas that they are, eventually we work through every possible scenario, every imaginable idea, and we can package it all and place it in a real side waste bin. For yes, all experience was essential for our recognition of the is through comparison. And once everything is successfully worked through, nothing is clung to. Outdated ideas and identifying with any aspect of the created self, then all that can be left is the real intent, and we stand real now with the is. Peter, my father, had a dream of this nature, where it was revealed to him an aspect of his created personality that acts as a drag anchor at this moment. It was a part of his created personality that he would have formed over who knows how many lifetimes ago, that the personal self would have clung to as it seemed the most effective tool for the personal self. In the dream, he was invited to a gathering of the new friends. The meeting took place in a grand ballroom, and all the new friends were immaculately dressed and positively radiated with their splendour and degree of attractiveness. In came Peter, and he was quite the opposite, his attire very drab in comparison, and the new friends didn't seem to acknowledge him. The personal self may well have begun its thinking assessment of this situation, charged it with emotion, and pronounced then the new friends to be perhaps snobs, with inflated opinions of themselves. But the real side experiences are all about the individual having them catered for greater awareness purposes and real intent recognition and the opportunity to accept parts of the created self that no longer serve as a benefit and that ought to be addressed and released. Objectivity is the key, and in this case, it was not the conduct of the new friends that the dream revealed, but more so Peter's created personality, the highlighted aspect of it being how he considers himself. In this case, then, his personal self had accepted the limited consideration that he wasn't as adept at the awareness process as the others, his grasp of it lacking, and this was exemplified in his manner of comparative address. In our experiences, the world we create for ourselves, the lives we have, are moulded by what we decide, and also how we view ourselves. The attitudes and decided upon details come first, then the experiences and life follows, everything equaling itself, everything reflects upon itself, it is a lesson unto itself. We can see how we have decided to be based on where we are in life. Everything in our experience is a reflection of that which we have decided that we are. The real side dream experiences follow along these lines also. We can only have awareness-enhancing dream demonstrations and keep progressing with them according to the extent which we permit them to unfold, and that is according to the self-limited created layers we have applied to our personal selves, almost acting like shields in a way. The denser our shields, the less can penetrate, to the extent that an individual 100% immersed in the personal self has an impenetrable shield almost. As we address these self-limiting attachments, the shield thins, and more of the is can pass through. The experiences more awareness enhancingly profound, until the shield is completely gone. Then we simply are standing with the is, and we are everything that the shield prevented us from being and recognizing. I did begin with speaking of the personal self and the apparent way it can be sidestepped. But how on previous shows I had suggested the sneaky nature of the personal self, how it may well manipulate dream environments and cause sabotage to our process of awareness in many creative ways. I had a dream recently where I was once again in my place of boring work. On a previous dream, I had demonstrations of my car suffering damage that prevented my reaching work. And this indicated, in fact, damage to my actual physical vehicle that would occur should I persist with a job that perhaps was becoming far too much a hindrance to my process of becoming more aware. In that dream, it's conceivable that I agreed to self-sabotage of my vehicle as a means to stop my being able to go to work. This would not, of course, be the conception of the personal self, especially if it was a means to become more aware. The personal self may well panic at such a notion and prefer its comfort zones of routine and habit, that such things as 9-to-5 jobs afford. But a little compromise may have happened. No, I didn't drop my job entirely, but in recent times I have halved it. I work but 3 days a week now instead of 5. And yes, this has been most beneficial in regards to my process of awareness. I am less exhausted, and my emotional self less stimulated, and thus I can be connected with my awareness and focus on the is to a greater degree. Ultimately, I will move beyond the whole work deal entirely, but I will know when it is the moment to do so. I have an insight where and when this will be. Awareness affords one with a greater ability to step back from the experience and see it more in its entirety, how the pieces fit together, to be totally in the personal self only, or to a greater degree, all we can see are the bricks. Were we to connect more with our real selves, we can see it as a house that the bricks do make. Everything becomes clearer with a more expanded viewpoint and objectivity, to the extent that we no longer need to chase things, force things, or manipulate things into being. We can just be, focus on the is, recognize our real intent and the experiences and process unfolds of its own accord. Whatever we focus on, we will have. All the pieces slot into place, and a linear sequence of events take us where we decide to go. As everything is, everything and every possible position is available now, but because of being disconnected from the real self, we stand then in cause and effect creation, and what we desire then moves along these lines. We seek something, and that ripples out as a cause with the resulting effect, that of an entire sequence of events, maybe spanning many lifetimes, bringing us what we desire. If we stand real in the new nowness, we are beyond cause and effect, and so a linear sequence of events no longer has to unfold. If everything is now, if everything is, and we stand in that completely, then what we want simply is, for where else can it be than here and now, to the extent then that we don't need or want anything, for everything is, and we stand with that, so we is everything also. And so what can you add to that? It makes no sense to want anything beyond a position of utter being-isness. I actually did have another job-related dream too. I was in my drudgery, and it was so very boring, so boring to the extent that I was willing to do anything to escape it. But in this dream, my personal self could not conceive of being absent of it. Then some controller-type individuals materialized and offered me a deal. My personal self was tempted, but I would not accept that which the controllers offered. A deal made in blood, no doubt, on the bones of others. Selling out to the dark forces a guarantee to go down a very restricting cause and effect route indeed, and the journey to the is forfeited. So another way these jobs and such can be an awareness process roadblock. If we fail to heed the real side demonstration suggestions, and the dark forces may step in and take their opportunity. And if we are engrossed in the monotony of our labour, and we are predominantly finding ourselves in our emotional stimulated personal self, we may not see as clearly the tricks, snares, and deceptions for what they are. For me, I'd rather be a homeless person on the streets than get to the stage where my being in my job, even with reduced hours, brings my process of awareness to a grinding halt. In a way, I can see the drawbacks of sharing from a technological basis, the computers and their upkeep, the homes needed to operate them from. Through greater awareness, I might see how I can realistically not be in a job and still share as I do, but not yet at this time. But in saying that, I do foresee how things are unfolding on a large planetary scale, and this position of being in a house with computers and sharing in that capacity is in the short term. There is nothing like a little incentive, a little carrot dangling to keep the personal self in line, to stop it frothing and hissing, moaning and tugging on our real self coattails in oppositional defiance to our process. Recently, I edited a Skype, a Charles show from 2017, and there was a part in that that made my personal self snap to attention and take heed. To be with the ears would require us to be in a position of being and nothing in addition to this. For to add to something that is perfect would bring free will to bear, and that would take us out of alignment with this true reality. To the personal self, this seems very dull. It is incapable of conceiving of anything beyond the psych realms, generally astral physical levels, that it was created within. And so always we must drag the personal self with us, as it digs in its heels in protestation, and if we allow it, it will keep us retained within the confines of creation. But we can be a little tricky too, our real selves, that is. Dwayne says how he can trick people into being wonderful. He will bring them in with references that may initially appeal to the personal self. For it is always with the personal self that our decision to look at what Dwayne is presenting begins. So something is required to get us in the door. Usually it's the potential and promise of a thrill or other. For me, I always had a personal self-fascination with all things alien, and when I heard some of Dwayne's YouTube clips speaking of meeting these self-proclaimed gods of man and the reptilians, that was my initial personal self-motivation for taking a look at his presentation. I wanted to see aliens, meet reptilians, kick back and have a space beer with a god. It was enough to get me in the door, and then I connected enough with my awareness to stick with it, and the process has unfolded ever since. With a few hiccups along the way, a few falling flat on my face situations, and path veerings naturally, for this we will all experience along the journey. So it transpired when I became set with my real intent and focus enough that I was to stick around, I would have my encounters with reptilians and aliens anyway, even when these no longer were my motivation or objective. And how many encounters I have had! more than I would have imagined, and I am still very much in my infancy, where my real awareness is concerned, and what an intrigue that is. Anyway, the part of the Skype I mentioned that had my personal self take notice was where Dwayne mentioned that, yes, ultimately the real intent is to reach the ears, but many people can get to the seventh level of the real universes. The first rung, as it were, and be beyond creation and the cause and effect reincarnational cycle. Unlike being with the ears, in the seventh level, people can still have their fantasy la-la lands, and yet this will not have them careening back into creation and unconsciously lost again, as they had earned their awareness and have the recognition to be at this level. I must have come across this information before, but it didn't register. But it certainly serves as an incentive for the personal self, the prospect of having anything it wants, and not having to bear karmic consequences. So, in a way, we can trick our personal selves into being wonderful as effectively as Dwayne tricks people into being wonderful too. And should one then reach the real universes, the seventh level, maybe a little push or two just to get beyond that position and then be real with the ears, and we have our personal created selves drift away. But we do need also incentives to keep from falling back into our personal selves, a little thrill or several on the real side, a little exhilaration or adventure that were we not on our process to the ears, we would not have experienced. A little like Peter's flying dreams, nothing like a little breathtaking, soaring like a bird to keep one on track to the ears. I had a real side dream the other day along these lines. I was on a whole series of adventures with new friends. We were battling this, we were overcoming that. Monsters, dragons, tests and tribulations, as we went through our real side training tests for our awareness, our viewpoints, and a greater strengthening of our recognition of our real intents. The nature of the dream wasn't important, as I didn't experience it in the clarity that facilitated my effectively bringing it back for sharing. Therefore, one can assume that that part of it wasn't important. It was happening, yes, and served the experiential purpose for which it was provided, but my focus was on a particular scene of the experience. Before one of our tests, I was with a new friend, and we were talking, and it was pretty much as you would talk to an individual on the physical, a general interaction, but then something changed. As we spoke, it's as though something came over us. A sense of beingness, a fading of our personal selves, an encompassing and delightful blue-gold light did envelop us. There was no further need for words. We were simply in each other's presence and engulfed in a light, and it was a phenomenal experience, and I took this to be the state described as being to being. I'd never experienced this being-to-being state before, at least not to this degree. And quite possibly even this wasn't the complete article. It was virtually indescribable. Words fail to afford it justice. Words even cheapen the experience. All I can say is it was being in a state of complete purity and connecting with another in the same state, being to being. Certainly then, a wonderful experience, and a reminder of what it would be like standing real in the is, being to being, with others in this manner. Always there is more to experience, more to be, a better position to aspire to, and in fact a never-ending expansion into the endlessness of the all is. So who would want to stop at the seventh level only? And even if you did, and played around with the la-la fantasy worlds of your creation, I suggest that would become dull after a while, and the ears would beckon you on into itself further. And I can't imagine an individual resisting that for long, to go forever into the unknown. Have you ever had real side dreams where you were killed, or assuming a different form to the vehicle you currently inhabit? Well, most certainly, we all have, and every conceivable dream in between. As we do know, we must experience everything, every viewpoint possible, every perspective, every possible idea that is made manifest in the dream arena for our examination, to circle and view all of creation from every angle, peeking in every nook and cranny, that we can finally see all of creation for what it is, simply a training simulator, and with experiences in all life levels and the real universes, we can make the comparisons and recognize the different life levels and the ears. We learn to switch our view from the literal to the real view, and our experience alters accordingly, demonstrated by how we initially view dream experiences very one-dimensionally, until we see what is behind what our literal senses tell us. The ears is everything, and everything is. It is only when we are within the creational matrix that everything seems separate and segregated, including all our various lives we have ever lived. Within the matrix, the computer storehouse that is our memory vehicle places all experiences into a sequence that seems to be the passage of time, that is actually cause and effect. The experiences are as a result of causes we set in motion, essential, yes, for awareness expansion, but cause and effect enslavement nonetheless, if we restrict ourselves to creational cause and effect only. And our causal memory body would equally have all our lifetimes arranged in a neat sequence spanning from the past to the present. But in actuality, because everything is, then every lifetime and life position and body form we inhabit across the endless expanse of creation and dimensional possibility is happening in this now moment. But unless we step into that new nowness and stand real there, we are in cause and effect creation, and subject to the linear passage of time, which is simply an idea we agreed to, and thus it is so. So, as we stand here in this new moment, every lifetime ever experienced including the future ones, are happening right now, as past, present, and future are ideas in creation, and so the future is just as accessible in the nowness of the is as the past. This has to be so, in keeping with the notion that everything is an isness, and everything is here and now, so that is a given, and not a hard concept to accept. Just give the personal self a smack up the head if it tries to think and understand it literally. So back to where I began. Yes, a lot of dreams will be for demonstrational purposes, and we will assume forms and be involved in situations for the purposes of becoming more aware as the real universal guides mould the dream arena to impress upon us that which we need to know now. Sometimes I've been in the form of werewolves, simply to demonstrate something that being in such a form would provide. As an example, I was with a group, and we were passing through various life levels, and at one point a great door was slamming shut before me, and at this door I transformed into a werewolf. This was indicating that I had to smooth out certain facets and attitudes before progressing further, as the qualities of purity and sincerity are those that will better align and grant access to the higher life levels and beyond into the real universes, along with awareness and recognition. Dreams are generally over-exaggerated to get the point across, so this was an excellent way to do this. What could be a more appropriate creature than a were-beast to be a visual display of less than savoury attitudes? Sometimes we get viewpoints from various species too. We assume the roles of aliens and reptilians as an example. Every way of being, every constructed, created consciousness individually and collectively is based on ideas and attitudes that we have taken on and incorporated. All of the social structures of the various alien civilizations and how they regard and engage with other races also. All of this is all what the is not, And so all viewpoints from all these species will give us a mighty palette of viewpoints to recognize the true reality by, through comparison. Comparison being the only way, as you can't use your personal vehicle to fathom out what the is. It has to be recognized. A few times I've been reptilian, and I had access to their way of being, their social structure, and being able to remain objective during this is always preferable, or you simply get absorbed into the experience. You become then the experience of the reptilian, rather than experiencing it with clinical detached indifference and objectivity. And from there, you still have the vehicle. It's not like it's gone just because you can stand in your real awareness while you still have a vehicle in creation. Its makeup and created consciousness is still yours. But now you can observe it as something outside of yourself, to see it for what it is, a complete creation, and everything that makes it what it is, you created. And what is created is added on top, as layers upon layers upon the is. So to be with the is, these layers and creations must all be removed. But because everything is, and so every lifetime, past, present, and future, is in the new nowness of the is, then it's conceivable we will get flashes of insight, glimpses of these lifetimes in our physical waking reality. Deja vu as an example, something that sparks recognition, and not necessarily from the past. It may just as easily be a future lifetime. This also explains premonitions to an extent. Generally, one can see what the so-called future may bring based on what is being decided now. Everything being cause and effect, and so the predictions are simply the likely effects of what is being set in motion, which are, of course, subject to change. The effects are always in flux and malleable, depending upon the agreed upon decided causes now. Set in stone and very rigidly programmed causes have predictable outcomes. It's not hard to envision the sort of world that is to come, based on the choices and decided upon agreements currently being made. But if all our lives are here and now, and are thus accessible, we may well dip in and out of them, even unconsciously, and have glimpses into future lifetimes where we can bring back what seem to be future predictions and prophecies, especially if we are becoming more aware, if we are leaning toward our real selves more and stepping gradually beyond the confines of cause and effect creation. Not only will this make the Akashic records accessible, the storehouse of all lives lived that resides in the astral level, but accessing the universal files also. The universal files reside in the real universes, and as you can appreciate, the guides are very particular about who they allow to view these. No grubby little power-seeking individuals or controllers are going to be allowed anywhere near. Generally, then, most will only be able to glean knowledge from the Akashic records, and these will be unreliable to a degree, as they fall within the Kalum God's manipulative influence, as he resides in the mental level, and if he deems it a necessity, he will alter and adjust the Akashic records. It stands to reason that the Akashic records can only contain the lives lived up until this point, as they are very much of creation, and so will be in accordance to the agreed upon time sequence and frames principles. The universal files would obviously contain every life, past, present, future, everywhere, into infinity, as the nature of the all is an isness, so everything is, and the files there would reflect that, and contain, therefore, everything, and what a read that would be. On the real side, then, when we dream about lifetimes as monsters, reptilians, and in various places, and if we experience deaths or even births, following on from what I have spoken of, these may not necessarily be then simply for demonstrational viewpoint and is recognitional purposes. As the more we stand real, the more aware we become, the more we stand in this new nowness of the is, where everything is, the more we are everything that is also. And so it's very likely that as we become more and more with the is and align ourselves with the new nowness, that we automatically may dip in and out of lifetimes, past, present, and future. The reasons could well be, again, for demonstrational purposes, that we could experience a life lived once, and it could be incorporated into a demonstration by piggybacking onto the very convenient content of that lifetime. That's in keeping with what a guide may wish to share or divulge. Or we may have a desire to do so, consciously or unconsciously, for who isn't curious about other lifetimes lived? The lifetimes, though, are experiences, references only, and should be treated as such. They are not realities, and one can be diverted from their focus of the is by chasing these old lifetime references. You can get a pretty good idea of what you have done and been generally by where you are now and your circumstances, at least the broad themes anyway. The details may not really matter. So, whatever the reason, we may go to visit these old lives. Or maybe the personal self simply wants a little relaxation. Sometimes we find a nice spot on the real side to relax and draw breath from the arduous journey toward the ears. A little time out with an intergalactic martini. It's possible, then, we may seek such relaxation spots with lifetimes from the past or the future, which are all happening now in this new nowness moment, and are places where such tranquility can be sought. Maybe a peaceful planet far away from any turmoil and wars, if there are such places at this moment in the very last epoch. I like to think there are. In fact, I'm sure there must be. Especially if we visit a past life, which might be during a golden epoch instead of the iron epoch we now are in. Here's a dream I had the very other day. I was on my adventures somewhere, somehow in unidentifiable lands, and amidst a group of peoples, humanoid as far as I could see. In this dream, I was a dragon, not an atypical dragon, four-legged, like those depicted in the Game of Thrones, but more bipedal, like a reptilian, but very large, with impressive wings, and a very dragonic head. I seem to be with these humanoids. They were a bit wary of me, as you could imagine, but knew I would cause them no harm. A strange crew, then, to be sure. Humans and a big anthropomorphic dragon. I had a sense that this was a lifetime lived, and so during my sleep I had switched into my real awareness, stepped into the nowness, and for whatever reason I had skipped into this lifetime. Considering this, the reason for doing so may well be for another viewpoint, for comparative reasons, like when I was a reptilian on the occasions I have been so. So maybe the past life was triggered for this very reason, or I simply found myself there, and the opportunity for a viewpoint could be realized. Either way, it's more likely lifetimes experienced in this manner will more readily occur if we are becoming more aware for the reasons I've cited, but also as we are paying more attention and seeking to better understand and glean awareness as a result of our real side dreams. It's more likely, again, real side dreams that incorporate lifetimes, past, present, future, or whichever dimensions they stem from may occur. And in a dream recently, I was killed. The details not so important for this topic, and I will be recounting it on a future UK Zoom sharing, as the dream in its entirety was rather entertaining. But at first, I assumed the dark forces were trying to slay me for sharing the is and the new, which is what I was doing, and they were unsuccessful. But what if, in fact, in some life or dimension, I am also sharing the new there, and I did, in fact, meet my end at the hands of the dark forces? It's very possible. It is a risky business, this whole sharing of the new, and so I may again have popped into an actual lifetime where I met my demise, and perhaps then took the opportunity to objectively view my death. I can't say I've ever seen my death in a dream before, as far as my mental body will currently allow. So it was a unique experience for that reason alone. We obviously have died endlessly and all over creation, but naturally we have no conscious memory of it unless we go Akashic or Universal file dipping, or seek the information specifically on the real side. So rarely would we be afforded the opportunity to stand indifferently back and witness our own passing. A way to gauge to what extent we can be detached from what would be rather traumatic for our personal little selves. I was, in fact, drowned in this dream, and I regarded it with indifference. So, if it was a test to this end, and I feel it was, then I passed. Care not, did I, for my passing. So again, we can put all this in a little nutshell. It's all about experience. Experience to become more aware and recognize and be real with the is and the universal guides. And the experiences are always omnipresent, for the whole matrix is a simulator and designed for no other reason than for experience. So all these lifetimes that we can dip into quite demonstrably, especially on the real side, if we stand real in the new nowness, can be revisited. We are not actually revisiting them, as everything is. So how can we revisit something that is always here and now and is? We can't ever be separated and outside of it. So how can we in fact leave and re-enter? All we can do is recognize it or not, stand in it or not. But for the interests of literalism, if we revisit lifetimes, past, present, and future, then we can maybe glean more from them now, if we are far more along our journey to the is than when we actually had the lifetime at the moment we were there. Yes, all lifetimes are experience. But if you have read one of Dwayne's new books a year or so, or even months ago, try reading it again, and you will gain far more from it, as your awareness has likely moved along and expanded, that you recognize more so that which he references through his new books. The same holds true, then, with lifetimes, depending on the degree of awareness you have in the lifetimes when your focus allows you to be with them will dictate that which you draw from them to facilitate better recognition of the is by objective comparison. And that brings us to the end of the show. I do hope that you enjoyed it, and I will certainly look forward to speaking with you again soon. And so I will round off the show with the new you song, The Connection to the Real Universes of the Is. New you.